too, but what we don't often have on our show are the teenagers, right? So we all remember what it was like to be a teenager, and we all remember. And so being a teenager is pretty tough. But now and then, teenagers do these incredible things. And so I have some special guests that I would like to introduce to you today. Today we have four teenagers that are our guests, and they are Stacy Canzoneri, Sarah Littlefield, Phoebe Lett, and Christopher Singer. Come on out, y'all. Welcome to the Ellen Show. How does it feel to be here?
Great, thank you.
Actually, it's the Beth Ellen Show. I keep forgetting. I've changed my name recently. Well, I know that you all had quite an exciting summer. There's a lot that we don't want to hear about. But there's a lot about your summer that we do want to hear about, and specifically, rumor has it you were in Portland. So, Phoebe, can you tell us what you did on your mission trip to Portland?
Sure, Beth Ellen. This summer we went to Portland and we worked on a food justice program, which means we kind of learned about how in lower income communities, a lot of times they don't have access to fresh fruits and vegetables and produce. And it's a big topic right now just because it's such a big epidemic. And what we did is we went to Portland, and we did everything from kind of the grassroots of actually pulling up weeds and harvesting food and vegetables, and to going to food distribution centers and actually helping people pick out what food they want, which was really fantastic. And we went to soup kitchens, and we just got to help out really getting to know the people and the place and help with food.
Great. Sounds good. And Chris, maybe you can tell us which activity you enjoyed the most and why.
Well, like Phoebe said, we helped people pick out food. To elaborate on that, we went to bought underneath a church, and this organization had shelves with canned food, and we went around with them and helped them choose out what food they wanted. And depending on the size of their family, they got this amount of meat, vegetables, and yeah.
So now, just to be clear, so like if you don't like canned green beans and you were helping a family pick out food, did you like say to them, "Ooh, don't go for the canned green beans, those are kind of," or how did it work for you specifically to help them?
Well, if they didn't like one thing, then we gave an extra of something else.
Oh, okay. And so did you specifically encourage them to take one thing over another?
No, I just let them choose what they wanted.
Okay, great. Thank you. And Stacy, can you tell us about a person who left an impression on you and why they left such an impression on you?
It was a person that we actually met our first day, which was we were working with the Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. They were the people that set up this entire program for us in Portland. And one of the people... the person who set this all up for us was an intern working with them, and we got to meet her, and she went to our first location with us, Sefer Farms, where we went on a tour with them, and she was just a really caring person, and we could tell that she had really thought about this, and it just made me just touched that she spent so much time on this for five youth and four advisors that she'd never met in her life.
Wow. So it sounds like you thought that for her it was more than just a job, that it was something she felt really passionate about.
Yes.
Okay. And Sarah, how about you? Was there anybody that particularly touched you along the way?
Well, on the second day, we did one of my favorite things. We went to a farm and we actually got to like get in there, and then afterwards we actually got to bring it to Snowcap, which is one of their kind of like the Alameda food bank, only like it has the shopping style. And the guy that worked there, do you guys remember his name? Anyways, he was really nice, and he was just really interested in it, and he had been there for a really long time. I think he started the farm, actually. And so he was invested in it in a personal way, and he was like, it's not really me that does it. And he was really selfless, and he was like, it's you guys and the volunteers that make it all happen, and I'll be able to work.
Great, thank you. So he was the one that really impressed you in some way. Okay, and how about any of you can answer this question? Do you remember any event or thing that happened that particularly touched you? Well, go ahead, fight.
One thing that really touched me was these people, that the people that we volunteered for, or the people that we were actually helping, that they were so appreciative that five youth and four advisors that they had never met in their life were willing to come out and work for just even 3 or 4 hours to, like Sarah said, help pick things on the farm.
Green onions.
We picked 73 pounds of green onions in 2 hours.
Wow.
And just the looks that people give us, like, you're actually helping us? Wow. And just the appreciation was amazing, and that's probably something that I'll remember for quite a while.
Huh. Well, and they probably had you picking onions because it's sort of a deterrent to dating, so it could have been part of the strategy. That might be, or vampires, exactly. Phoebe, were you going to add something?
We also worked in a soup kitchen, and we got me and Sarah. And,
yes.
We worked in a soup kitchen, and there was this fantastic guy who was helping us serve up the platters of food to give to the people. And he actually lived there. He was a resident, and he was trying to kind of get his life back on track. But he actually spoke 4 different languages, and he was extremely sweet, and he quizzed us on all these different culinary things.
Oh my gosh, he was extremely knowledgeable, and it was really cool to talk to him.
Yeah, he knew everything about, he was a veteran.
He was a veteran, we learned that later, though.
Yeah, but he was really loving and open, and he, you know, was like, have you guys ever been here? Have you ever been there? Have you ever tried this? You know, sometimes you should stop in, and I'll make you this, and we actually ran into him the next day at the Saturday market.
He came up to me and put his hands over my eyes and was like, I don't know who this is, but it was really cool to see him there.
A little creepy.
Yeah, he was hosting a booth there, and he had some pretty cool stuff. Had some cool belt buckles.
Wow.
But he showed us around, and he was so open and friendly, and it was just amazing, because a lot of times you see these people and you never really get to talk to them and really see them one-on-one, and this guy who you, if you ran into the street, you might be like intimidated to like run into him or something. He's a big guy, kind of like a wall. But he was so sweet and kind, and it was just so nice. And he was so intelligent, and a lot of times you don't really think about that. A lot of times you're like, you know, I want to just help, but you don't have a face to the food. And it's really fantastic to get that experience.
Great.
Can I add something more about the soup kitchen?
Hold that microphone close.
Yeah, sorry. The soup kitchen that we worked in, there was a line outside of, and how many people did we circulate through there that night? I think it was like 300 people.
Wow.
And
line around the block
and people recirculating in. And there was actually really good food there. Like they were actually, I think it was like either some type of small bird and then and then a vegetable mixture, a fruit salad, and a pasta dish, and then a churro for dessert.
Okay.
And we circulated 300 people through there, and they said that on some of their nights they get like 500 through there, and it was just amazing that these men who needed a place to stay could volunteer here, and were really making a difference for others that were in their situation.
Great, giving them a little bit of dignity too, which is great. Chris, do you want to add anything at this point, or shall I come back to you?
They pretty much said everything.
See, that's what happens when it's three, well, I won't
say
that.
He's the token boy. He didn't talk much.
So, Sarah, this question is for you. What did you learn about what each of us can do to solve the problem of hunger?
Well, I know that we have a lot of local organic, like trying to get food to low-income areas in the Bay Area. Like, city slicker farms. You guys can all go work there if you are so inclined. But Christopher and I were talking on one of our many, many bus rides. We're like, well, why doesn't our church have one of these gardens? And so we think that we should bring it here, and then you guys can all be a part of it.
Okay, we'll hear more on that in a minute. And Chris, this question is for you. Why is it important for churches to be involved in feeding hungry people when usually we're involved with people more spiritually? Why should we worry about or care about feeding hungry people?
Well, churches are within the community, so churches can go out to the community and help people out.
Right. Okay. And Phoebe, do you want to add anything to that?
Sure. It's kind of like if you really want to affect people, I mean, it's always important to like enrich them spiritually, but if they're so hungry that they can't hear, or, you know, it envelops you after a while. And that's their entire life, is figuring out, you know, even if you're not hungry from, you know, you can still have like money for a liquor store or something, you know, eating donuts and Twinkies and all that doesn't really help you in the long run. And a lot of these people, that's all they have. They have, you know, a convenience store or a liquor store, and they can go get Slurpees and smoothies and, you know, Big Macs, but they can't go out and they can't get, you know, tomatoes or corn. A lot of them haven't even had some of that stuff in their life because they just don't have the ability to get it.
Hmm. Thank you. Well, and there's probably also something to be said for, you know, it doesn't do a whole lot of good if we're just all sitting inside a church praying and doing spiritual kinds of things if we don't care about people in the world. And so there's always that connection between what we do here is so that we can go out there, right? I mean, it's always, we always want to connect that. Otherwise, it doesn't really mean a whole lot other than to maybe our little group or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's really like targeting the whole person rather than just their spiritual side. And I mean, if you can talk to them or connect with them in a lot of different aspects, then you can really have like a real connection with them as opposed to just spiritually, which is important, but
yeah,
all of them are important.
Yeah. And did you guys get to have any of those real conversations with the people you were working with?
Mostly that guy.
Yeah,
that guy was great.
We talked to a lot of people, like me and Sarah worked in the clothing room at one of the food distribution sites. They not only had food, but you could also get clothing and some things, and we worked sorting clothing and folding it and putting it in boxes, and we got to meet some of the people that were working behind the scenes, and they just went through clothing really quickly, so we ended up having to do the, you know, they ran out of men's shirts, so we had to sort through and find a bunch of men's shirts they could put out, and then there was a girl trying to find a prom dress,
there was a girl trying to find size 11 shoes, which is not an easy task when you're looking through barrels like the size of this couch, but we did it.
We did it. It worked.
Good job. All right, so Chris, this next question is for you. So as Sarah said, you had a lot of time in transportation mode, where you were sitting on a variety of things and had lots of time to think and plan. So why don't you share with our studio audience today what your idea is for how they can be involved in hunger. So tell us what you came up with.
Well, after we built raised beds at the food distribution center, we had the idea of building some of our own here. So after many meetings, we thought, make this a whole church project. People can come out and help, have their own plot to grow their own vegetables. What else we got? And if you have...
It's sort of like an adopt-a-plot scenario, and it's going to be really great because we can donate it to low-income areas, and then they can get access to fresh food.
As well as that, if you have any experience with these kind of things, you can come and help us because we obviously don't know everything about building a garden and planting.
Wait, did that just come from a teenager? We don't know everything. That's amazing, Chris.
Yeah.
You're like a trailblazer for teenagers. That's incredible. So the idea is, like, on the East Coast, a lot of churches have cemeteries next to them. You're saying, let's not do plots as in a cemetery, but let's do a community garden. Is that the idea here?
Yeah. So you guys can even visit it.
We also went to some other churches as well, and the other churches, they also had gardens. So we wanted to do that as well.
Great. Yeah. So you're going to do the hard labor, it sounds like.
Yeah. The youth group is going to be sort of the moderators for the garden. Like, we're going to be making sure that the paths are weeded and that you can actually get to your plot. And
great.
We're going to be building the raised beds, which we have practice with.
Great.
Our tools! So we're not really sure how we're going to rent out the plots yet, but the youth group of this church is going to be sort of overseeing everything and making sure everything runs smoothly.
Great.
So, if you guys are interested, I know after church today in the family hour, coffee place, family room, that's what I was meaning. There's going to be a table, and you can do anything from give a small donation so we can buy plants and soil. You can adopt your very own plot, which is super exciting.
Which may or may not include a shrinky-dink keychain of the vegetable you're growing.
Wow, bonus!
You can adopt a plot. You can, if you have any like extra gardening tools, you know, a pot lying around, or a shovel, or gardening gloves, a pot. A single pot.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yes. A plot that you plant things in. But, you know, shovels, seeds, anything, trowels,
great.
Nails, whatever. You can come and talk to us or sign up, and it'd be really great to get everyone involved in this because we can really make a difference.
Great. And today's not their only chance, right? Because today's kind of a quick little coffee hour, but you'll be there in the next few weeks, too. Chris.
Yeah, and as adopt your own plot, if there's like 100 of you that want to do it, we're going to have a lottery where so that everyone can get in on this.
Great. You could even have a bidding war. I mean, who knows? This could be really big.
Option time.
All right. So as is customary for my show, you guys are going to want to put the microphones back. I have some free gifts for you. I always give people gifts when they come on my show. So... Sarah? Stacy?